listeners, it's Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 28.
Yay!
This is very exciting. There's been quite a bit of information out there on the news.
Yes, there has been a juicy week, or a sad week.
Yeah, that's true. It depends on how you see it, really. But I do want to start off with an interesting topic in the news. It is a woman named Rachel Dolezal. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I might not be. Now, Rachel had a position, I think, with the NAACP.
Spokane, Washington.
In Spokane, Washington.
So it was a regional office.
Yes. So all kinds of stuff started happening on the internet. I don't really know what the triggering event was. The story, as it unfolded, was that Rachel had been identifying strongly with her being an African-American woman. And it turns out that her parents, I believe, came out and said, well, you know, we're both Caucasian and she's our daughter. We're not quite sure why she's saying that. So all kinds of conversations started happening on the internet. And I remember watching it and thinking, like, putting my course hat on. Uh-huh. I thought, okay, where's the forgiveness here? Because I will fully acknowledge that I have a different perspective on this. I am what I might call a pasty white gal from the Midwest. Yeah. I'm pretty Germanic, white, European. So I don't have the experience, at least in this Janine lifetime, of understanding, you know, the experiences of an African American. And I certainly don't understand the experiences of an African American female. And I know it's been a struggle. I can see that. As this story unfolded with Rachel on the internet, all I can think of is, why is everybody making a big deal about this? Can't we just forgive? What had happened, at least from my limited knowledge, didn't seem like there was like real harm there. I get the fact that there was an integrity issue. I felt like, let's just forgive her. I don't understand what the big deal was.
Seems like if someone wants to champion for a other group of people, why not let them?
Well, a lot of it seemed to be centered around the fact that because she was passing, she's a white woman who was passing as a black woman, black American woman. And that really kind of hit a chord, I think, with the African American community. I do understand that. I get that part.
It's definitely a weird reversal.
Correct. And we don't quite grasp what it's like in the reverse. So if someone who is African-American passing as white, I don't think we'd care. I think, at least from our understanding and the way our generation is kind of transformed, I don't know if it's that much of a stigma anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that that integrity issue I talked about earlier is that she had tried to play the white card or whatever. I mean, these aren't my words. With Howard University trying to sue them to make sure that, you know, as a white woman, that she has the opportunity to attend there or something. So there's some flip-flop there. But we were talking earlier that it's fascinating. Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner, so strongly identified, he was a man, but strongly identified as a woman. So what's the real difference between Rachel identifying as a black woman, even though she's a white woman? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot going on here, but I really wanted to focus on the forgiveness aspect and why it seemed like there was an awful lot of vitriol going on against this woman, kind of from the general public. And all I could see was, well, I don't understand the problem. It may be my ignorance, but I really feel like I'd rather see it through my eyes as a core student and say, I get it, Rachel. You know, God bless you. Holy Spirit be with you.
I'm sure it was a burden to walk around knowing you're going to get busted at some point.
Sure, I agree with that. But I do think, at least from what I've read, she did some pretty good work with NAACP.
That's wonderful.
I hope that the general public can maybe get past this for the rest of her life. I don't think that's fair.
It seems like the news media likes to amp things up.
They do.
And it is unusual for a white person to want to be a black, come off as a black person.
Yeah, and that's why I thought, wow, this is interesting. I mean, this is a woman who kind of is trying to pass to be an African-American.
And to help those people, which I think is a noble cause.
I agree. And I get that, you know, there was some misleading there.
Yeah.
But there, by the grace of God, go I, or anyone else. I mean, who hasn't made a mistake, right? So I have been fascinated since I've become a course student, maybe a little before that, about the well of forgiveness that people can have for each other, but also the flip side, how it's very easy to judge someone who they don't really know,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's safe to be like, oh, well, thank God I'm not her, because she's a terrible person. It's like, well, hold on here. I mean, she is also God. She actually, bigger picture, is us. So it's like, what about us do we need to address?
It's like she's a liar or something. So you're right. They've all passed judgment on her.
Right. It's just, I remember watching the story on the news and hearing from the radio. And my immediate reaction was, what's the big deal? And when I was talking to a friend of mine who is from a different ethnicity, she was very upset about it. And I understood that. I didn't want to kind of like throw it in her face like, oh, well, I don't believe this. What's the big deal? Because she has every right to feel how she feels completely. I still, coming from a different perspective, don't quite understand it.
I don't know if we need to. I think it's just another ego device to keep us separated.
Right. Right, but I also think that we as humans in third dimension seem to continue to create stuff that separates us, that makes us want to say the victim-victimizer thing. Oh, well, look what she did. She's terrible, you know? Mm-hmm. Us poor people who are just trying to make it in this world, and here she is, pretending she's somebody she's not. Here's the reality. We're all pretending that we're not God, and we are.
That's a good point.
Every day.
That's because most people don't identify with it.
Or if we identify with it, we get some sort of messiah complex stamped on our head, like, oh, well, you know, who is that person? They think they're God. What makes them so special? Well, what makes them so special is exactly what makes you so special, that we're all God in the bigger picture.
I feel like the prodigal son story, you know, just kind of came to me again in another layer of, oh yeah, so I'm the one that left home, and like Godfather is still waiting for me. He's holding the space for my return. He knows I'm gone, but he has no idea what I'm doing. And Father, I'm coming home now.
Right.
You know, it's that simple. Like that what if question, what is it like over here if I go over here? That's the basis of the total spin out. Like that's all we are just different forms of the what if. Because my mind's always going, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? I mean, it's just like constant layers and layers and layers of false dreams and thoughts.
Okay, so this dovetails perfectly with something else we were talking about earlier. And that was another story that came up. It actually pushed the Rachel Dolezal story off the front page. And this is what happened in South Carolina.
At the church.
Right.
Which it was so hard. Heartbreaking. I found out because I was listening to the radio and Obama interrupted, and I turned on CNN and saw that these people had been killed in a church after the gentleman had sat there for an hour in a prayer circle with them.
So this happened at a South Carolina church. It was a pretty historical church, too, I believe. And there was a prayer meeting.
It was like a Bible study group, I think.
And this young man, I think he was pretty young, like 21. So he sat there with those. It couldn't have been that many people at the prayer group, right? There was only 9 or 10.
Maybe.
Pretty small. The pastor and some other people. And so he sat there for an hour. I don't know if he participated. And then, you know this better than I do because I really wasn't connected to the news media, just started shooting?
Yeah, he just pulled out his gun and started killing them all. I mean, point blank, in a church, after sitting with them for an hour with God, it's hard for me.
So let's talk about this from a course perspective. So this young man, obviously troubled, it takes the life of others. From the course perspective, we are told that, you know, the script is written. Does the course says that, or if it's from a Gary book, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Does the course explicitly say that the script is written?
I haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay. So something happened and he goes and takes the lives of these people.
Yeah.
Let's just assume the script is written. That's how it was going to play out. That the victims
maybe did him wrong in another
You know, who knows? I mean, that's just how it works out. Mm-hmm. We had talked before about people leave this third dimension existence. They basically wake up in heaven or whatever you want to call it. And it's kind of a blessing, you know? Like, we always, in third dimension, think, oh my God, it's so sad. And you and I have talked about it before. Like, wouldn't it be nice?
I don't know that they're waking up in heaven. I think they're waking up in that in-between world.
Well, sure. I don't know what to call it. I'm just calling it heaven, but it could be whatever. Uh-huh. Let's just say some higher plane, right? Yeah. Has there really been harm done to them? But because we're so connected to third dimension and they took these lives and this is so senseless, I get that on that level. But kind of on a different level, it's just we all have to exit somehow. It wouldn't be my choice, but I don't know what my choice is. I don't know what my script says. We are all God, and he's God just like they are.
I found it today, you know, like the day after, just fascinating how there's so many people in that community that are speaking, saying love is stronger than fear.
Yes.
And that's where I've been at my workbook lessons. Mm-hmm. And it was just a colliding of information mm-hmm. that I feel like was probably a big forgiveness opportunity.
Well, I think some people get so identified strongly with this stuff. And I don't know if this is good or bad for me, but I feel like I'm just removed from it. Like it's just something that happened in this script that's being played out. An occurrence?
I think because it was in a church, that's what got me. And yeah. Like a Bible study.
Sure.
Prayer group kind of thing. Like, right. To me, that seems sacrilegious. And you can't.
It does from like shouldn't. Our third dimension. I agree. I agree. Like of all the
wait
places.
Till they're in the parking lot. Well, I prayed, of course, and I was doing my forgiveness stuff in that moment. And these words came to me.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a call from love to love. May we realize we are from the same God, therefore are one with each other, allowing all loving beings remembering who we are, love. Because in my workbook lesson, it talks about a call from love to love. And when we're in that space of love, then that's what we're reflecting. And I feel like if we can just get that this is really not real, mm-hmm. it's all devised by the ego. And what if instead we choose God instead of being something different?
And you know what? Bless all those who were actors in this play, in this particular play in South Carolina,
yeah.
to help us kind yeah. of further understand forgiveness mm. and how this is all just a dream anyway.
Yeah. It's a big one, though.
It is a big one. If I listened to myself a year and a half ago saying this stuff, I don't know if I'd recognize myself. Because on some level, I think I sound a little crazy.
Well, our mind is expanding and we're getting right. more knowledge. And mm-hmm. I like it.
I do, too. It's just it's a new me. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely.
A new me.
But even as I grow and get stronger in this mm-hmm. thought system of undoing the mind, you know, the ego fights.
Yes.
And so I've had fears come up. Becky, one of our listeners in Florida, emailed yes. us about some of her fears. And some of mine usually revolve around images that could be on television, like zombies or vampires or ghosts. I never watch that stuff.
Really? I just kind of, I just find it all kind of pretty silly. But the ghost stuff kind of gets me a little, so I move off on that. But deep down, I know it just doesn't exist. So, I don't, like zombies, it just seems so silly.
Well, I did kind of get to that place mm-hmm. because, again, I felt like the workbook and reading the text and what was happening in my own life, it was like an incubator and it was exploding. So, when Game of Thrones came on and those zombie-like characters, which are so ugly, which, of course, I looked away from most of it and turned, mm-hmm. put my fingers in my ears, muted the sound. It was a little bit over the top. And in that moment, I did kind of have some peace of this really is just another ego form of right. of the false world. And it's mm-hmm. an ugly form. And I don't like that form because I have photographic memory and that stuff stays in my mind. And I will see those little wakelings for the rest of my life in my mind, which I don't appreciate. But the reality of it being from the ego became crystal clear. And that was worth it.
As you know, I was an academic parapsychologist at two well-known universities. So my academic background in parapsychology kind of helped me understand that this is all just ridiculous anyway.
Yeah.
Just absolutely ridiculous. And I had mentioned before that my sister has the gift.
Yes.
And she also helped me see that none of this is real. So I know from a Hollywood perspective, you know, the concept of ghosts and all that kind of stuff scare people, mm-hmm. but it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
Well, you know what happened to me was I kind of got like, okay, it doesn't exist on this planet, but when I die, I have this fear that somehow I'm going to be tricked by the ego and lured into something that I don't want to be in, like a different space, different dimension of crazy or something.
Okay.
Not like as a human back here on Earth, but just something else. Mm-hmm. In the Billy Fingers book, when he talks about how his favorite Shiva woman came dancing yeah. at him or whatever, which was kind of sexy and
love
fun.
That. Yeah.
You know, like what if that's some, in my case, sexy guy who comes at me and I'm like, ooh, yeah, but it's really the ego. And somehow I get taken and hostage and like off on this other thought form where I forget who I am. Like I have this, now it sounds really stupid and silly.
If I can give you a gift from yeah. Janine to Stephanie, please. It would be like, come on.
I don't know.
It doesn't exist.
I feel like the ego is just so strong that's why I feel my meditation and my time spending time with God and getting that light and that bridge built
right.
is critical, so that when I do pass over, I have a muscle in it that I can call on HSJ.
That's a good point.
And it will be there. But if it's just intellectual and it's knowledge, but I haven't mm-hmm. built the bridge, then I could maybe get lured.
I think that's a really good point, but at least for me, and maybe this is just like my mafia part of me. I'm just like, oh, F you, ego. Like, I'm so over it. Like, you can go kick rocks. I could care less.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. You're lucky.
Well, don't worry. My ego, I will tell my ego to kick your ego's butt, so you don't have to worry about it. I've got you covered.
I appreciate
that. Yeah, no worries. So, segueing off the news mm-hmm. onto more important things, i.e. me, I do want to talk a little about my slow burn, because I think things are changing for me. So I had the slow burn at work. I've been, slowly changing my attitude toward this person. And I think I'm actually seeing the results of that in a way that you've seen this some time ago with your slow burn, which has been really kind of lovely. It's like not having that angst about them and kind of seeing them in a more loving space. And I think they really are reacting in a more loving way, which is like, whoa, mind-blowing.
That is. It's like love is radiating love back.
Right.
Are you to love yet?
I'm not to love you. I'm kind of in like, maybe a little, but I'm getting there. I mean, pure and innocent.
Yeah. That's a start. That's
yes,
a good start.
Absolutely. So I'm kind of fascinated how this is unfolding for me. When I listen back to our old podcasts, I wasn't there yet. So it's nice to see that progression.
It is. I feel like it's softening.
It is softening.
It's like melting away. You're definitely collapsing that little time vector.
Because I'm slowly getting the fact that this person was reacting to me because I was setting that person up to be a certain way with me. And once I figured out, I can recast them in my play. And now it's starting
to... And I can shift within and be different with them.
It's getting much better.
I mean, I think that's the key to life.
Right, but like, in my personal relationship that I've talked about before, things are really shifting there too, in a different way. Mm-hmm. It's like addressing this person and understanding they are God, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released, but still recognizing the fact that, I can bless you and you can move on, but I don't really see this as something that makes sense for me moving toward the future. I'm not saying that I'm looking for a significant other, but I'm certainly more open to it than I have been in the past. I'm not just saying this to all the male core students out there who are, of my dating age, but I'm just saying that if I ever meet y'all, the legions of fans we have out there,
right.
It would be 2-3. We have many. We're exponentially adding them, one or two at a time. So what's been going on with you? How's your garden going?
The garden is going good.
Well,
I know what I wanted to
very
talk
informative
about. Oh yeah, okay. So I'd like to talk about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And one of my family members has been married to a bully, and it got pretty hairy at times in our past. I've hated this person for a really long time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to think of different people in my experience that I can practice the mantra with. And I do feel like something has shifted mm-hmm. with this person.
And your mantra is, you are pure and innocent, all is forgiven and released.
Yeah, like just imagining them just being from the mind of love. Mm-hmm. And he's just this vehicle that doesn't know how he's being used. Like, we aren't Stephanie and Janine. We're just these forms. Mm-hmm. And really, truly, we're just love. And so, it's awful what this person's done. I don't have to like them. I don't have to spend Christmas with them. But that's pretty... he's been a thorn in my little pocket for a long time.
Because he's the victimizer?
Oh, yeah.
In your play? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, to my sister, that's mm-hmm. pretty personal.
Right, sure.
Her husband. Mm-hmm. I could give you guys lots of evidence, but I'm not going to go there.
Right.
Yeah, just imagine the most worst thing you could ever imagine, and that's who he is. So.
So how is this relationship resolved, or is it resolving for you?
Well, it's like my sister got a cell phone, so now she can call me, and it happens to be his 50th birthday, and it kind of brought it up. So I started thinking, I need to keep applying this. And since he's up in front of my face,
right,
they say to look at that every opportunity that happens all the time is an opportunity to give it over and just kind of connect again with the Holy Spirit and Jesus and remember who we are. Yeah, it does sound kind of corny, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit,
well,
Jesus.
Well, now it doesn't. I mean, I would have said this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard like a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Boy.
Because it sounds kind of like a Jesus freak thing. Like, oh no, here we go again. I think we relate to Jesus in the Holy Spirit in a different way than maybe kind of more conventional Christians do.
Yeah, I was thinking about how they say the tiny mad idea. Mm-hmm. And so when we're spinning, because our mind's constantly judging and thinking of things, that those are just each little tiny mad ideas. And so we can just keep turning them over.
Right.
And when I'm on the phone with people and something's happening and I need help, like I'm starting to tune in. Or if I'm doing a task, I'm starting to say, hey, be with me. And I'm trying to consciously invoke it more and more. Because usually during the day, it's just my ego running me, surviving,
right,
you know, accomplishing at work. And so I want to try and bring it
in more. I think through the course, I've been far more conscious of when I stray, so to speak, like my mind strays and starts, you know, maybe labeling people in a negative way. It's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? I will drive to work in the morning because I think that's really the time where I go through like scenarios with people in a work environment that I don't necessarily like. And I'll have to stop myself and say, okay, you know, you're not going to get to heaven talking about this stuff. So let's just change our mind. Like, I'm getting better at stopping myself, but I'm still not to the point where I don't ease into it. Because my mind has been so used to it that it eases into it and then I have to stop it, you know, but at least I'm doing that.
That's great. Yeah. I think it's the practice.
It is the practice. We've talked about this before. That's why so many people do the course over and over again. It's the practice.
And why it takes years. Yeah. I mean, if we want to transcend in one lifetime, then we've got to put in the effort.
Well, you were re-listening to the audio of the course and saying, hey, I get something different every time I hear it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We are constantly evolving. So when we re-listen to the course 6 months later, a year later, it's like a different course.
Yeah, it's like I can see the universe and I can see the planets and I can see all the different time frames and the different bodies and the costumes and all the crazy things that happen. And it's just like, none of it's real.
So I was talking to my sister about, you know, sometimes third dimension can be a very challenging place and people, you know, struggle with money issues or relationships, health, whatever. And there are times when my sister and I had talked about, well, you know, can't we get relief? Sometimes it sounds like, oh, if I could just go to heaven now or pass along, right? It just seems like, oh, that just seems so nice to escape this stuff. Mm-hmm. I think the course really helps to say, you know what, this stuff doesn't really exist anyway. We are asleep. And this isn't about, like you were saying, sometimes you worry that the ego might take you out in whatever
not
way
so
that means.
Not so much anymore, okay. But when I was first studying.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean,
it still might, but
I don't really have that
fear.
I just think that my goal now is to do everything I can to forgive as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And forgiving as much as possible means forgive me. It doesn't mean forgive everyone. It just means forgive me.
That's, yes.
It sounds easy, but
and
it's
them.
Yes, but they are me. So tools. It's like, yeah, exactly. They're kind of just showing me the way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have a problem with me? Well, look at yourself. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that reminder.
Yeah, and it seems like Holy Spirit Jesus just wants us to just tackle. It's like an obstacle course.
Right.
And like each problem or each situation that comes up is just another opportunity to forgive it and just keep building that muscle.
I'm in for the long haul. I will say that. I am all in on this one.
Yeah.
Which is...
We are different people.
Yeah, we had talked about this before. You know, the course community, at least for our little world, is pretty small. So it can be challenging to talk about it, like in the bigger picture. I still have to catch myself when I talk to other people and go, well, that's not really real. That's not reality. When they say, of course it's reality. You can see it. You're bleeding, right? It's like, well, yeah, but still, you know, I sound like I'm insane to other people, except you and whoever is listening, the legions of fans out there who listen to the Course of Course podcast.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. We need 10 people.
Your course friends to like our Facebook page.
Exactly. Yeah, go on our Facebook page. We would love it if you would make a comment or something. Even if you don't like it, that's fine. We'll take it. Take anything. We know you're out there. There's a whole universe of people listening.
And we love you all.
We do indeed. All right. Well, that's our exit. So thank you very much, Stephanie. And thank you very much, listeners. We will be back again for the Course of Course episode 29.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw.